So I'm going to start by reading Proverbs 12:1. This is a verse that Timothy, you all know Timothy, had read to me over the phone one day, and God just gave me some understanding about myself in this verse. So Proverbs 12:1. I'll wait until I hear the pages quit, or most of them anyway. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. And when Timmy had read me that verse, it just struck me, I'm a person that hates reproof. There's a reason when I go through tough times and everything, I struggle to call my pastor to ask for help or call those around me that I know are men of God to ask for help, because I'm afraid of those things they'll say to me, the reproof they'll say to me. I hate reproof. So God just showed me I'm a brutish person. So now I was wondering, well, what is a brutish person? So right now, actually, Mr. Wagner there, I stole one of your verses when you first started out. Because you said it, it kind of hit me in the head like a baseball bat. So we're going to go to John 3. This wasn't in the original notes, but, you know, notes are just little guidelines. You don't need to always follow them. Just go where God leads you. So John 3, 20 and 21. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So right there, what did God say a brutish person is? Someone who hates reproof. What does it say right here? Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. What is that light? Spoke about it in the Sunday school there. Jesus Christ, that light. He's that lamp under our feet. But we won't bring those things before him because we don't want to be reproved. So what are we doing? We're hating that light. Hating Jesus Christ. Because there's two definitions of hate in the Bible. There's a hate, the murderous kind, or if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. But then there's also the other definition of hate, where you put something above it. So you're just deciding, I don't want to be reproved. I want to keep whatever this wickedness is I have. I'm going to keep it above God. You hate God at that point because you've chose something else over God. So we're just going to look through here. My notes are in no particular order except for what I wrote them down in. So they're going to be in book order, but there's not going to be any like order or theme I put them in. So we're just going to read and learn stuff together. I wrote most of these down last night at like 11:30. So we will go to Psalms 49. There will be a lot of reading. We might not get through all of it. If we don't, I can either decide for the thing afterwards during lunch whether I'll continue on this track, or I think God wants me to actually do something else. Then he showed me right near the end of your message there what I believe I'm going to do then. So I'll probably just give you guys some of the references, because it's very important to look up this stuff, especially if you get shown by God that you're a brutish person. Figure out what he means by that. Figure out what he thinks of you. Figure out what happens in your life if you're a brutish person. So Psalm 49, verse 1 through 20. We got a lot of reading here, so I'm just going to power through, then I'll jump back through. I might stop. I don't know. We'll see what God lets me do. So Psalm 49, to the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Hear this, all ye people, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitudes of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. I'm going to stop right there for a second. Talking about that wealthy person. They think they can buy their soul and everything, but their wealth is keeping them from being reproved. And wealth doesn't only have to mean your great riches. You could just have the love of money. I can't go to church today because, you know, I have to work. That's foolishness. Because it says, how shall they hear without a preacher? How are you going to hear God if you're at work? And I don't know about you guys, but I know my workplace, very little God involved in it. You'll hear, if you're construction, I worked construction for many years. The music you hear, the things that people say, there's no God in it. None at all. I was in the military too, sir. One of the most, I love the military. I greatly respect the military, but it's probably one of the vilest places you can be. There's no God there, but we put those things above God. We decide, I need to do this. I need to go to this party. My family invited, they can't move it. So I'm going to skip church to go to this party. You just put that above God. How are you going to hear the reproofs of God? Are you afraid of hearing those reproofs? Is that why you won't go? I know many people, many, many people, I'm not exaggerating this, they'll come in, they'll get under some conviction. Then all of a sudden they'll find fault with someone or something in that church. And they'll leave. I can't be there. That person's here. They did this to me. Is it because of that, or are you just running from the reproof God was giving you? It's not chastisement. Chastisement and reproof are completely different things. It's not even rebuke. It's just reproof. Probably one of the lighter things God can do, but we run from it and we don't like it. We will read a little bit about chastisement later on. I believe it's in one of the Psalms here that we'll be going to. But let's continue reading, see what happens to this rich person. We stopped at verse 9, I believe. Or no, 10. Thank you. So verse 11, their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Which is funny, we see that all the time. Think about, what is it, William Penn? Pennsylvania is named after him. What does he have now? He has a state that's fractured, named after him. Whoop-de-doo. You talk about all this stuff. I'm going to give what I have now to the generations coming after. My children need this. No, your children need God. God can take care of them. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beast that perish. Well, later on, if we get to there, which we may not, but I'll especially give you those references. It talks about those brute beasts, that men being as brute beasts. Granted, I do not believe a saved person can be as a brute beast, but they can act brutish. Just like a saved person can't be a fool, but they can act foolish. Let's see. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their saying Selah. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them. In the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. Are you saying it's right there? When they die, all this stuff they gained is nothing. They would not listen to reproof while they're on this earth. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah. I believe that's talking about Jesus Christ. We can talk about it later if you want. That's not what this message is about, but it's fun to see Jesus Christ in the scripture. So if you can't find glory in that, well, get right with God. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. He says that twice in the same psalm. Probably important. But he says multiple times, they can't take that stuff with them. And God's recently brought me to this realization. This is a little off track, but hey, I'll try to shove another message inside a message. Try to follow where God leads. You can't come to God with anything. You had said that somewhere in the beginning of your message, I believe. You can't bring anything to God. You come empty-handed, and God will get you before him empty-handed. Whether you do it on this earth or after you die, I pray to God that you do it on this earth. Because you can't bring anything to him and expect he'll save you. You can't hold on to this world. Fanny Crosby wrote that song, "Take the World, but Give Me Jesus." It's a wonderful song. If you've never heard it, you should look it up and listen to it. Let's go to Psalm 92. We are definitely not getting through all this. Even if I had all the time we wanted up, I'm looking at it now. But I'll expound where God wants me to expound. So Psalm 92. It's a shorter one, but we're still going to read it all. I like to read them all, even if I don't speak about every verse, because I don't know what God's going to show you out of his word. I've had many times where someone's just speaking and they'll read through, they'll just gloss over a verse and God will just smack me with it. Like, oh, it's a wonderful thing when God speaks to you out of his word. Very wonderful. If you're living right with God, he'll speak with you often out of it. If you're not, like I said before, get right with God. I have to do that all the time, get right with God, because I decide I'm not going to listen to reproof. I'm going to try to do things my own way. Then life gets a little bit hard. Psalm 92, verse 1. Well, I'll read the preface there. A psalm or song for the Sabbath day. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Which is what we did when we sang the psalms. I love singing hymns. When I first got saved, it was the only way I actually knew how to praise God was to sing. I don't have the greatest singing voice ever, but I can sing quite loud if I want to. It's a good way to praise God, I think. I sing at home. I'll sing in church. I'll sing in my car. I sing almost everywhere. So I love singing the hymns because, especially if they're really doctrinal hymns, they're just testimonies of the songwriter. You read, like I said, I brought up Fanny Crosby's song, "Take the World, but Give Me Jesus." That's the song I believe she wrote right after she came to salvation. And that's her testimony. If you read through that, you can understand exactly what was going through her head at that time. So when you're singing the hymns, pay attention to what they say. They're important. One, you can also discover, hey, this hymn ain't that doctrinal if you pay attention to the words. But you might just find those hymns that just bring the glory of God, allow you to praise God. Let's get start reading here before I get off on another message. Okay, so I'll just start over. A psalm or song for the Sabbath day. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. So stop there. What does a brutish man not know? The works of God. all of a sudden you're in your going day to day through your daily life and you're not seeing the works of God in your life? Are you refusing reproof at that moment? Are you being a brutish man? All of a sudden God's not in your life doing those things for you. Those you spoke about those works. Why? Very great and wonderful that you brought that up. You said you were preaching, I forget what you said, you were preaching on remembrance normally. Kind of funny when you said that, and then you started preaching on half my message. I really didn't appreciate it, but no, I'm just kidding. I greatly rejoiced in that. Because only God can have a hand in that. Because, as you know, I forgot to text you. So we had no contact at all. But
surprise me.
We do have one contact, Jesus Christ. He lives in me, he lives in you. So there is a contact there. That's why it's great to fellowship with the brethren. Let's continue. Verse 7. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish, all the workers of iniquity. Iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Right there. Talks about, let me see, I think it's verse 14. Of course, I missed it. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. What's one of the things that the Bible warns about in older man? The pride of life. All of a sudden, an older man stops seeing reproof because he has a pride. I know this stuff. I'm not trying to say this just to pick on older men. I'm starting to get towards that point of my life. But talks about they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. An older man can do that, still bring forth fruit. They don't wash out. The only reason they ever wash out is they stop obeying God. I know an older preacher preached for over 40 years, I believe, in one place. And throughout the years, I've seen God renew this man. This man has had the ability to change his mind, which you don't see often with the older men. They get set in the ways. They get that pride of life. I know this stuff. I can do this stuff. I pray to God that doesn't happen to me. I pray to God that doesn't happen to any man. Because pride is just an awful thing. All pride causes is destruction. Let's go to Psalm 94, just down the page. I don't think we're not going to read this whole psalm. We're going to go verse 1 through 14. I hear pages flipping, which means I was wrong when I said just down the page. That means you have a different layout of your Bible than I do. I have probably larger font because, as you can see, I can't sometimes. So Psalm 94. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. I don't think it's going to be a good reward, by the way, when he renders a reward to the proud. That just proves not every reward God gives is a good thing. If he renders reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. I'm going to reread that. I misread it a little bit. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? When will a brutish person be wise? When will a fool be wise? When they accept that reproof of God. But they don't want to. Because what did they say? They hate the light. They hate it. But if you want any wisdom, and not wisdom of man, because I believe if we get there, one of these references I've down talks about that wisdom of man. But you can become wise through God. Hopefully you don't become puffed up. Become puffed up, except for proof when men tell you, hey, you're a little puffed up. I say all this, and it's not fun for me to say this, because it's very hard to accept reproof at times. Someone says it, and it's immediately cuts. But you just think about these things later on. Think about the things people say to you. Even if they say it wrong, who cares? If someone says something wrong against you, who cares? Safety is of the Lord. If God doesn't feel a need to deal with it, why do you feel a need to deal with it? I trust God to protect me in those situations. Understand ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? Who's that he's talking about? God. He hears and he sees. He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? These are all questions. They're all question marks after. He's not making statements. He's asking questions. Do you believe that God will know? Do you believe that he'll see those things that happen to you, hear those things that are said? Does he not know? He knows. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Ain't that the truth? Many thoughts that go through our head throughout the day are probably just vain thoughts. Blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. Are you a part of God's inheritance? It won't forsake you then. It says it right there. If you believe the Bible, it says it right there anyway. Well, just for funsies, since it's on the path through, I put a little star next to it, didn't actually put it in the front of my verse. We're going to go to Proverbs 12:1 again. You don't have to really turn there because I've already read it. But we're at the midway point of all my notes, so I'll read it again and just re-up what we're talking about. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Spoken on that already time, many different times. It's giving that characteristic of someone who hates reproof. Now let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 10. Mentions a brutish person three times, I believe, in this chapter. I'll try to stop. Like I say, God only recently started showing me this stuff, so I don't have a complete understanding of it yet. But I have enough to beg God for forgiveness because I know I'm a brutish person. I've had to ask him for that. Many, many times I've had to ask him. I sorrow every time I do. I really do. Because I don't like to live wickedly. And yet I choose to. And I say I choose to. Because God provides a way out. He does. It says it. I don't have time to, but if you ask me about it, I'll show you some verses where it shows that he provides that way out. Actually, I believe I'll give you the two references at the end because it's in those chapters that God mentions that. Because what does it say? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the light, right? Did I misquote that or quote it correctly? I'm going to trust you guys to say. He says he's the way, but he's also the lamp under our feet. So what does he provide? The way and the way to see that way. So we have no excuse when we step off that way. Oh, I didn't see, I misstepped. No, he provides that way. You chose to step off that path. Another little side message for you. There you go. You're getting so many today. Okay, Jeremiah 10, we're going to go 1 through 25, and that will probably get us to noon. So I'll give you the two references after that, and I would recommend going and reading them. One, they're just good chapters to read. Granted, any chapter in the Bible is a good chapter to read, so you could read in Chronicles and get stuff out of it. Okay, so we're going to go chapter 10. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Don't learn the way of the heathen. You go to work, don't learn the way of your coworkers. Don't start acting like them to try to fit in. This is for young men. It's also for older men. It's hard to try to stand apart. It says, what is, I believe the Bible says, be in the world, but not of the world. You have to live that way. And it's, I want to say it's hard, but it's not hard. If you're living right, it's not hard. Well, honestly, when it's very easy to do the right thing when you're living right. But the moment you decide to let things creep in, you decide to not allow reproof into your life, we'll just bring it back to the message, try to fit it in there, shoehorn. It makes it very hard to do those things you're supposed to. So let's continue reading. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither also is it in them to do good. He's talking about false idols, those works of men's hand. False idols. Which, you know, it's hard to not fall into those traps. Ah, look what I've done. He also spoke a little bit on that. The work of your own hands. You think, ah, I've done this. Look at what I'm doing. False idols, things you're putting before God. He says, don't do it. Don't. It's a vain thing, he calls it. Vain. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain, for as much as among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. There's no other God like my God. There is none. It says it right there. No one else is like him. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. What is brutishness? They hate reproof. They will not listen to that reproof there. And it says, the stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into plates. It is brought from Tarshish. Gold from Uphaz, the work of the workmen, and of the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nation shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth, and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. Right there, that's why I mentioned a little bit earlier. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Do you have knowledge that no one can reprove you of? Do you think you're right on everything? It's hard when people tell you, no, that's not right. You need to look at it again. You're like, no, I know this. Do you truly? Did you go to the Word of God and make sure it was right? You said that earlier. Did you study it out? Did you? Is it truly right, or is it just your knowledge, that brutish knowledge that you're not going to let anyone tell you is wrong? Where did I say? We're going to go 25, and then we'll probably end after that, after I give you the other two references. They are vanity and the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Gather up thy wares out of the land, O inhabitant of the fortress. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once, and will distress them that they may find it so. Woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous, but I said, truly, this is a grief, and I must bear it. My tabernacle is spoiled, and all my cords are broken. My children are gone forth of me, and they are not there. Is none to stretch forth my tent any more, and to set up my curtains. For the pastors are become brutish, and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Sounds awful. A brutish pastor. Someone that hates reproof. It's not only talking about reproof of men, it's talking about reproof of God. But what did it say would happen to him? His flock would be scattered. You guys probably know better than most when it comes to that. What happens? It's a sad thing. Deciding you're not going to take reproof. You're right. Your knowledge is right. You're not going to listen to anyone else. And those that are under you get scattered and hurt because of it. We'll continue on here. Behold, the noise of the bruit, or bruit, don't know exactly what that is. Never looked it up, but I'm actually going to because it interests me today because I misread it last night. It's like, huh. Just fun fact of what I'm doing if you guys want to know how my week's going to go. It has come, and a great commotion out of the north country to make the cities of Judah desolate and a den of dragons. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We still try, though. We try to direct our own steps. That's what I was saying earlier. We don't follow the path that God laid before us. We try to direct it ourselves, and it said it's not in man to be able to do that. That's the reason everything falls apart when you try. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name. For they have eaten up Jacob, and devoured him, and consumed him, and have made his habitation desolate. I didn't do it. I will give you the two references now, and then I'll close in prayer because it's just afternoon. If you could, and I highly recommend it, read 2 Peter chapter 2 and Jude chapter 1. Both those chapters kind of correlate with each other, but they talk about that brutish beast. That beast, and it refers to men at them as that. And it's sort of like that ox that's wanting to push. What do you do with that ox? You put it down, because if it kills somebody, it's your fault. Hence the reason you can't be a brutish beast, as you're saying. Because if you start doing that, God's going to make sure you don't. So close in prayer and then go from there. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for what you did. I didn't know how things were going to go when I started speaking. Father, you knew I came in with great trepidation. I thank you for the help you gave me. I ask that those things I've said don't just fall on dead ears, Father. If there was any foolishness in those things, Father, you just take it out. In your son's name I do pray. Amen.